Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning and happy Sunday morning. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. We are closing in on the regular season of the NFL. So we are still making our way through division previews today. It is going to be the NFC East. But before that, plenty to chat about in news and notes. As we suspected, Jordan Addison gets handed down some punishment, will be suspended for the first three games of the regular season. That is going to be something that will be a little bit of a blow to the Minnesota Vikings offense, probably a little bit of a blow to those who were rostering him in Dynasty. I think that means you should aim for him a little bit later in redraft. I still have questions about the passing efficiency of that offense in general. I think Justin Jefferson is still a top three option at the position, guy that's going to go pretty early. I think this will benefit TJ Hockenson, the tight end who is healthy, but we still don't know exactly what this offense is going to look like with JJ McCarthy this year. They also have a couple of options at running back with Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason. They may try to run the ball a little bit more. There aren't any receivers that I'm too hot to pick up, on the Vikings for that short of a stretch. I really think TJ Hockenson is the one that will get a good boost from this. And of course, Jefferson going to continue to play well. There were some more injuries last night. Rondale Moore, who missed all of 2024 with a torn ACL, moved to the Vikings this offseason. Got hurt on the first play, got carted off. Doesn't look good. They're awaiting an MRI later today. Tyjae Spears, the running back for the Tennessee Titans, was also carted off. That is never a good sign. We will wait for an update there. But he missed time last year. He has struggled with injuries throughout his young NFL career, and that is something to certainly keep an eye on. That would be an even bigger boost to Tony Pollard. I would suspect if he's going to miss an extended period of time that the Titans would be a team that would be monitoring backs who are out there and released. We still have a few guys who are unsigned. We'll also go through cutdowns here in a couple of weeks, and there will probably be some decent players that end up getting set free that could change teams to add some depth. I doubt they're going to want to roll with what they've got behind Pollard right now, but first, we need to see the severity of the injury. Another one from last night, Green Bay Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed left in a walking boot. The coach was very noncommittal about the extent of the injury, saying they hope to have him back by the regular season. Everybody in fantasy hopes the same, but it is cause for concern. We already knew that. We saw the walking boot. So a lot of things just progressing forward. We will see there. We're almost done with the first full week of preseason games. There are two games today, and then we'll be done. But camp injuries, things like that. We had a big camp injury this week as Rashawn Slater tore his patella tendon, was lost for the year. Left tackle who had just signed a monster extension for the Los Angeles Chargers. But the Chargers did bring back Keenan Allen. I'm excited to see what he can do repaired with Justin Herbert after a year away. That does it for news and notes. Let's turn over to our preview. And as I mentioned, we only have a couple of divisions left. Today, we are looking at the NFC East. And this is a division that produced both NFC Championship teams last year and the eventual Super Bowl champion in the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll start right away with the Eagles. They finished 14-3 last season, first place. They went all the way to win the Super Bowl. Among their losses, quarterback Kenny Pickett was traded to the Cleveland Browns. Kenneth Gainwell, the running back, left in free agency, as did guard Mekhi Becton, linebacker Oren Burks, defensive end Josh Sweat, and cornerback Darius Slay. Among their additions, they traded for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a quarterback from the Cleveland Browns. He's in the mix along with Tanner McKee and rookie Kyle McCord. They signed A.J. Dillon at running back, the former Green Bay Packer. They brought in Harrison Bryant and Kylan Granson to give them depth at tight end. They got Azeez Ojulari at linebacker, drafted Jihad Campbell, and brought in cornerback Adoree Jackson. Jalen Hurts finished as QB8 last year. Saquon Barkley, who was Offensive Player of the Year and ran for more than 2,000 yards, was RB2. A.J. Brown, wide receiver 20. Devonta Smith, wide receiver 27. Dallas Goedert, tight end 27. They did not have as robust a passing game as you might have expected. All three of those primary receivers missed time. They had brought in Jahan Dotson. We did not see him make a bunch of an impact. He is not a guy I would actually make a point in rostering in either dynasty or redraft this year. But I think A.J. Brown will be back. We'll finish a little bit higher. I think he has low-end wide receiver one upside. I still like Devonta Smith in that wide receiver two range. And Dallas Goedert, you know, he has some tight end one upside, but I'm going to keep him at a high-end tight end two for the time being. I think that Jalen Hurts, with his rushing ability, is still a very solid top five option. Quarterback will probably be able to pass a little bit more. And I still like Saquon Barkley this year. Will he hit 2,000 yards? I don't know. Will he be quite as dominant? I don't know. They may give him some more breaks. They brought in a guy like Dillon who could definitely be a grinder and take the load down the stretch, especially if they're up in games. The biggest surprise in the East last year, and probably in the NFL in general, was the Washington Commanders, who went from worst and having the number two overall pick to finishing 12-5, second place in the division, getting all the way to the NFC Championship game. Among their losses, wide receiver De'Ami Brown left and went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wide receiver Olamide Zaccheaus also left, as did defensive tackle Jonathan Allen, Dante Fowler Jr., at defensive end, and safety Jeremy Chinn. They brought in Josh Johnson to join Marcus Mariota as backup quarterbacks. They drafted Josh Connerly at offensive tackle, and they signed Von Miller from the Buffalo Bills to enhance that pass rush, along with bringing in defensive tackle Eddie Goldman. Jaden Daniels was quarterback 5 last year. Brian Robinson Jr., running back 29. Austin Ekeler, running back 24. Neither really lit it up on the ground. Terry McLaurin was wide receiver 7, and Zach Ertz was tight end 7. This team also worked to improve the passing game by trading for Debo Samuel, and that is a big new note. I think the biggest concern I have for the Washington Commanders right now is the contract stalemate with Terry McLaurin. He's doing a hold in. That is never good. As you saw, wide receiver 7 last year, he would have wide receiver 1 upside. I have him more in the wide receiver 2 range. I think Debo Samuel will be more involved. I think they'll still continue to use Zach Ertz. Their running game, not overly impressive, but if they cannot get things worked out and Terry McLaurin doesn't take the field, I think that is a serious hit and a concern for a Commanders team that has lofty aspirations. After getting to the NFC Championship game last year, I think they could be a serious contender, not only in the East, where we haven't had a repeat champion since the early 2000s, or in the NFC in general. But missing a key wide receiver piece on offense would be a detriment. Brian Robinson kind of is what he is. He has never run for even 800 yards. He's always been in that 700 to 800 yard range throughout his career. I think that's about where he is. Austin Ekeler, clearly getting older, has lost a step, still a valuable contributor and a good receiver. They have a young rookie in Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, but I don't know how much he'll be involved. They do not have a power running game to lean back on. I think Jaden Daniels is incredible. He was the reigning offensive rookie of the year. I think he's going to be good. Again, a top five option at quarterback for fantasy. But it does make me nervous, his wide receiver situation. Now, I liked the addition of Debo Samuel. I thought him working in, being maybe in the wide receiver 3, high-end wide receiver 4 range, and Zach Ertz being probably a low-end tight end 1, still maybe a high-end tight end 2, gives them some options behind McLaurin. But if McLaurin is missing, that takes a serious step back. So that is something to be concerned about as you move forward. Next up, the Dallas Cowboys. They did not do well for Mike McCarthy last year. A slew of injuries, and they finished 7-10, dropping third place, missing the playoffs. Mike McCarthy is out. Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, in as the new head coach. Among their losses, longtime backup Cooper Rush went to Baltimore. Trey Lance went to the Los Angeles Chargers. Rico Dowdle, who ran for over 1,000 yards, went to the Carolina Panthers. Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver, went back to the New Orleans Saints. DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end, and Jordan Lewis at cornerback also moved on. The team traded with the Patriots to bring in Joe Milton to be the new backup quarterback. He looked pretty decent in the first preseason game. They signed Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders at running back. The two veterans will team with rookie Jadon Blue to create a running game back there. I suspect Javonte Williams will probably be the primary starter to begin the season, but Blue, an interesting rookie, Sanders, an interesting veteran depth piece. They brought in guard Tyler Booker to improve the offensive line. They brought in defensive end Peyton Turner, defensive end Dante Fowler Jr., and linebacker Jack Sanborn. Dak Prescott, despite missing a huge chunk of the season, still finished as QB 31. He was red hot to start the season. Javonte Williams, running back 30 for the Denver Broncos. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 8. Jalen Tolbert was wide receiver 45. And Jake Ferguson was tight end 25. The other thing this team did is trade with the Steelers to bring in George Pickens, giving them a great number 2 receiver opposite CeeDee Lamb. I think the passing game is still going to be a huge focus here. I like Dak Prescott as a QB1. I like CeeDee Lamb as a top 5 option at wide receiver. And I think George Pickens could have some wide receiver 2 upside. I still have him more in the wide receiver 3 range. Jake Ferguson just got a long-term extension. He should be going good too. The real question in the backfield, as I said, I think Javonte Williams probably the lead back, but more of an RB3 for me. I think Jadon Blue is the one that I'm interested in Dynasty, especially if you can stash him, maybe not have a huge presence at the beginning of the season. There's been some reports that he doesn't have a great work ethic in camp. Is that camp speak? Is that coach motivation? Will we see something different during the season? That remains to be seen. Miles Sanders was an interesting signing, could be an interesting guy if there are injuries, but I don't know that he has a role right off the bat. I think for fantasy, I'm really interested in Dak. I'm interested in Lamb. I'm interested in George Pickens. I think Jalen Tolbert takes a big step back unless there is an injury at receiver. But the biggest problem for Dallas is like the problem for the Washington Commanders, and that's that they're at odds with one of their best players in a contract situation. In this case, it's defensive captain Micah Parsons. He has been participating in training camp, is dealing with some back issues right now that has held him out of practice, but he and Jerry Jones not on the same page. He actually formally requested a trade, as did Terry McLaurin in Washington. This is another situation where I think they get it worked out. I don't think they want to trade him. I think that they need him to achieve what they want to achieve if they want to get back over 500 and be in the playoff race. But this is feels like an unnecessary distraction. A lot of these teams with self-inflicted wounds. Fourth place team a year ago was the New York Giants. They're a team that made some wholesale changes at quarterback after a 3-14 finish. Drew Locke left and went back to Seattle. They had released Daniel Jones midseason. He is now in Indianapolis. They also let go of Tim Boyle. Azeez Ojulari actually left and went inside the division to the Philadelphia Eagles, which is never good. Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker, went to the Green Bay Packers, and Adoree Jackson, the corner, also went over to the Eagles. So that's got to hurt for the Giants. They brought in a completely new quarterback room. Free agents Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston joined the team while they drafted Jackson Dart. He looked great in the first preseason game. They brought in running back Cam Scataboo in the draft to join Tyrone Tracy back there in the backfield. They added wide receiver Lil Jordan Humphrey, who was previously with the Broncos, guard Greg Van Roten, Abdul Carter on the edge, and Javon Holland at free safety. Fantasy finishes, Russell Wilson was QB 24 last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, despite only starting from week 7 on. Jameis Winston, QB 28 for the Cleveland Browns. Devin Singletary was running back 46. Tyrone Tracy, running back 26, kind of came on later in the season. Malik Nabers, incredible as a rookie wide receiver 6. Wandale Robinson, wide receiver 36, was a PPR machine, but did not put up a lot of yards or other points. Darius Slayton, who signed an extension this offseason as well, was wide receiver 73. So Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the GM, survived last season, but the pressure has to be on this season. I think there are loftier expectations for the Giants than finishing at the bottom of their division and earning a top draft pick. But what does that mean? Do they really have what it takes to push? I don't know that they're significantly better. Russell Wilson has been declared the starter. That makes some sense, especially for a team that's probably feeling the pressure. But I think we'll probably see Jackson Dart at some point this season. We could even see Jameis Winston at some point. I don't think any of them have more than a QB3 appeal for me. In the backfield, I think Tracy and Scadaboo will get the primary work. Tracy may be a little more explosive, but I think Scadaboo, with his size, may be more of a red zone element. I don't think either of them rise above running back 3 territory. I know that's a blow because a lot of people were excited about Tracy and his potential prospects getting a full command of that job. I just don't think he's going to have it. I don't think that's how they see him. Malik Nabers, though, top 5 option at wide receiver. He was incredible last year. I think he could go even better this year. Rondale Robinson, it's going to be a little bit interesting to see how this new quarterback's and the scheme features him. As I said last year, he was a PPR machine. He was just catching tons of passes and got a ton of targets, but did not get a lot of yardage and production. Is that going to be the same thing they do this year? If not, his value takes a big hit back because you don't have those big breaks away yardage or touchdowns kind of to turn things around. Also going to be curious to see if second year tight end Theo Johnson can take a little step up, be a little more fantasy relevant. And then you have Darius Slayton out there, who's kind of their everything glue guy. Not a big focus for me in fantasy football, but definitely when there are injuries, he's a guy that steps up one or two times a season. If you were in a deep league and you needed a flex during a tough week, that might not be a terrible option. But really, the one I'm most interested in is Malik Nabers, and for Dynasty, Jackson Dart. I think he could decently be the future. But how do I see this division shaking out? Well, I think the Eagles are still really good. I think the Commanders are really good, although I mentioned the Terry McLaurin situation has me a little nervous. I think they will probably be the ones vying for the division title. I think both of them are playoff-worthy teams. The Cowboys, I think, could be another team that wins, 9 to 11 games and gets in that wild card conversation. It also wouldn't shock me if they won 7 or 8 games again. I think they're going to throw a lot, but they also have a weird contract dynamic on the sidelines. Probably not as dominant as they once were, but I am not a believer in this Giants team. I love Malik Nabers. I love him for fantasy. I like some of the pieces they're putting in place, but I just don't think they have a good roster. I don't think they'll be competitive this season. I don't see them finishing above last place in the NFC East or making the playoffs, and I think that might lead to some bigger changes next offseason. We'll see how it all shakes out, but that is my take on the NFC East. If you are enjoying previews of the NFL and of the season, we're running a written preview on the site daily. I actually started with the NFC East on the site. So NFC East, AFC East are up. We are on to the NFC North. Yesterday was the Detroit Lions. Today will be the Minnesota Vikings preview. And then we will continue on from there every day through the beginning of September as we get ready for the next NFL season. So go ahead and check that out. Next week, it's going to be the final of the division previews, the AFC East. Looking forward to talking a little bit about Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, who are also on Hard Knocks now. So if you're interested in kind of learning a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes in Buffalo, every Tuesday night on HBO, they are the Hard Knocks team. And it has been fun. The pilot episode, a lot of fun already up there to check out. Well, that'll do it for me today. Hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next Sunday.